It's Here and Now, and we are in San Antonio today, a city that is still famous for a battle that happened almost 180 years ago, the Battle of the Alamo. And I'm standing on the site of that battle right now with Bruce Winders, who is a historian and curator here at the Alamo. Mr. Winders, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us what happened here.
Well, that's a big question. We've got 300 years of history here. We have history as the mission, as a Spanish fortress, Mexican fortress. And part of that, as you mentioned, is the most famous part, is the Battle of the Alamo. It's a typical European-style siege, where Santa Ana comes to town, spends days encircling the Alamo. It's an old mission that's on the east side of the river. The town's is on the west side of the river.
And Santa Ana is the president of Mexico.
Antonio López de Santa Ana. And Santa Ana needs to control the town because it's a crossroads, it's a commercial center, it's all the things that in a conflict you've got to control.
How big was San Antonio at that time?
San Antonio on the eve of the revolution is 2,000 or more people. So it's a big population center on the Texas frontier.
And Texas at the time was part of Mexico, but the people in Texas were rebelling against Mexico after Santa Ana threw out the country's constitution and took away certain freedoms for the settlers in Texas. That set the stage for the bloody battle that has been depicted again and again in popular culture from John Wayne in 1960.
Just speak right up and call me Crockett. Don't bother to use my title.
To a new History Channel miniseries.
San Diego is taking the Alamo! The Alamo's lost! San Diego is taking the Alamo!
We've just come inside the Alamo.
We're inside the Alamo, and what we're in is we're inside the church. It's shaped like a cross, made of limestone.
And what was happening in here back in 1836 on those days when the battle was going on?
There were women and children here during the battle that were in this room back behind us.
And are there a lot of people inside here at that time?
There are probably about 15, 16 of the combatants that are here, family members, about another 10. So not crowded, but you do have activity. So it's functioning as one corner of the fortress. As we're looking around, one of the things we see is we see a vest from the 1820s, 1830s that at one point supposedly belonged to David Crockett. What you see is that the pattern is European or East Coast. But the materials are actually, it's buckskin, has beadwork on it. So it's that coming together of two different cultures.
And by the way, you're calling him David Crockett. I guess I'm better friends with him, and I call him Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. And he died here at the Battle of the Alamo.
He did die here. And even at that time, he was beginning to be known as Davy Crockett. But he's David to me.
He's David to you.
Yeah, this is Mr. Crockett to me.
There are millions of people who come here every year to see the Alamo. What is so important about this place and the battle that happened here for people to understand about the history, not just of Texas, but of America?
I think the Alamo sums up in many ways the struggle of America, the struggle of freedom against tyranny, and what strikes me is we often have visitors who come from different countries, and they will say, you know, we have a battle like this in our history. And so it's a universal struggle. So it didn't, you know, we kind of go, it's Texas, it's the United States, but it's much broader in context.
But the ironic thing about the Battle of the Alamo is that the Texans lost.
That's correct. We often have people who come here and it's like they're telling us something. You know, you know the Texans lost. And it's like, yes, we know that. But for Texas, the idea was you know, these men shall not have died in vain, that their lives were important, therefore their deaths are important. And a month later, 6 weeks later, at San Jacinto, what the Texans are shouting is they're shouting, "Remember the Alamo." And so that's the connection, where you essentially take defeat and turn it into a powerful rallying cry that gives you victory.
And now this monument is getting a big boost of artifacts from an unlikely source, the British musician Phil Collins.
The Phil Collins story is sort of become part of the Alamo story as well. And it goes back to Fess Parker, 1955, then later John Wayne. And so he was a young man in England, saw it on television, and he says, you know, I had two loves at that point, you know, the Alamo and drums. And then fairly late in life, he started collecting items.
Things like what?
Well, he started with documents, and documents that have to do with the Battle of the Alamo, and then started buying artifacts as well, muskets, swords, insignia.
And now he's giving it all back.
We had had a discussion about collectors at one point, that collectors, it's your collection, but at some point you've got to do something with it. And he said, I've been fortunate enough that I don't have to live off of it. So he said, you know, I want it to be somewhere where people can see it. So when he made that official, it made him happy, it made us happy, made a lot of people happy, because visitors who come here want to see something from the battle. And if they can't see it from the battle, they at least want to see something from that period. And that's what his collection is going to allow us to do.
The collection will be displayed in a new visitor center, part of a number of changes coming to the Alamo because of a change in who takes care of it. A group of descendants of the founders of Texas, called the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, have managed the Alamo for more than 100 years. But in March, they were abruptly fired, and the state took control of this piece of Texas history. Well, another thing that may be history is the Alamo's status as the most popular tourist attraction in Texas. It now battles with the Riverwalk in San Antonio, and that's where we are now. And we're here with Lewis Fisher, who is a longtime San Antonian. He's author of numerous books on the city and the Riverwalk, including American Venice, the epic story of San Antonio's river. Lewis, tell us what we're looking at here.
Well, Jeremy, we are looking at the Arneson River Theater. It's one of the signature elements of the Riverwalk. The seating is on one side of the river, and the stage is on the other. And during performances, riverboats will continue to go down the river, wave to the crowd, wave to the actors, and continues, and everybody has a good time.
Lots of riverboats, lots of tourists walking around. There are restaurants along the Riverwalk. What is the Riverwalk for people who've never been here?
The Riverwalk is actually one of the world's great linear parks now. It started out as the banks of the downtown San Antonio River. There was numerous flooding that occurred, culminating in 1921 with a 100-year flood that drowned more than 50 people. At that point, flood control was put in place, and it became possible to keep the high waters off the Riverwalk, and that's when things really got started here.
How important is this at this point for the economy of San Antonio?
It is very important to the economy. Tourism is one of the major industries of San Antonio, and the Riverwalk going through the heart of downtown helps give San Antonio a downtown that's much more vital and much more active than many other downtowns in the country.
It's a much more walkable downtown than some other Texas cities.
Yes, it is.
And a lot older than cities like Houston and Dallas.
Yes, it's nearly 300 years old. The 300th anniversary will be coming up in 2018.
And I should say, as we walk down the Riverwalk here, we're passing a Hilton on one side of us. There are restaurants. There's an Irish pub up ahead. And then lines of these riverboats that tourists are filling up to go down the river.
Yes, and this Hilton Hotel has a very important role in the development of the Riverwalk, because from the when it opened in 1941, for about 25 years, there was very little development. There were no people down here. But in 1968, San Antonio hosted a World's Fair, which needed new hotels. One of them was built here on the Riverwalk, and a second one was built farther down. And once they were completed, they furnished visitors the opportunity to see the Riverwalk, and things really got moving.
And this has become a model for cities all around the world now that have tried to do their own Riverwalks.
Yes, it has. We have had visitors, planners from all over, from Singapore, from the Israel, from Peru, Mexico, all the far corners of the world have come here to see how they can do what we do here.
A mariachi band performs as tourists eat their lunch along the Riverwalk. We had some Tex-Mex and margaritas at the oldest establishment here and met a couple visiting from McAllen, Texas. They came to see the Riverwalk and had no plans to visit the Alamo. I told them to check it out. You're listening to Here and Now.